The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause sin will inevitably occur, but woe to the one to whom they occur. Be better for him if a millstone were put around his neck and he be thrown into the sea, than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he wrongs you seven times in one day and returns to you seven times saying, I am sorry, you should forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we start to read from the Book of Wisdom. There are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you know them? Can you name them? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, fear of the Lord. First one that comes into operation, according to Thomas Aquinas, is fear of the Lord. But the most important is wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? This is a definition, short Thomistic definition. We've got some people here who speak Spanish. Saborear las cosas de Dios. In English, to relish the things of God. Give an example. Your six-year-old daughter, Mom, for my birthday, I want to go to Baskin Robbins. You know Baskin Robbins? Probably the best ice cream place in the country. And your daughter buys a double-decker. And there she is. She's licking that ice cream cone. She is relishing it. So the way that she's relishing that ice cream cone is the way we should be relishing God. Amen? Got it? So relishing God. That means you relish to come to Mass every day when you can. You relish your time of prayer. You relish to go to retreats. You relish to do the 10-week program of the spiritual exercises. Amen! You relish to hear homilies at 6:15 p.m. every night. Amen. You relish to read the lives of the saints. That's wisdom. So wise person. So you English majors, what would be the opposite of wisdom? It would be a fool, okay? Folly. And it's a person that's maybe addicted to telenovelas, huh? And all that transmits. But the wisest people in the world now are those who are here at the 6:15 Mass. Because you're about to be relishing Jesus coming into your heart in Holy Communion. That's true wisdom. Amen? So let's pray that we grow in wisdom. But I'm going to tell you something that may shock you. Who was at one point the wisest person in the world before Jesus? I'll give you a hint. He's found in the Old Testament and he's the son of King David. Who? Solomon was the wisest man in the world, but he ended as the biggest fool in the world. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I repeat, he was the wisest person in the world. The Queen of Sheba would travel hundreds of miles to sit at his feet to listen to the words of wisdom that emanated from his mouth. But he ended as a first-class fool. You know why? What was his kryptonite? La lujuria, lust. Lust was his weak point. And he gave in to his lustful desires and he ends his life as the biggest fool in the world. Teresa of Avila once asked Lord, was Solomon saved or not? Jesus did not respond. Jesus would not respond. Was he converted at the end of his life? We don't know. So all of you people here, you're very wise, but we can lose it. If we're not humble, prayerful, persevering, all of us could be like Solomon. So be careful. Don't presume on your own strength. Amen? Amen or oh me? Mm-hmm. Amen, huh? Were you listening to the gospel or were you yawning? It's one of the strongest gospels, passages in all the gospels. Father Benedict Rochelle calls it the Millstone Award. My parents have a house in New Hampshire, New London, and there is a restaurant called the Millstone Restaurant. And I've been there to eat more than once. And in front of the restaurant, you have, you know what a millstone is like? You ever see a tractor wheel about this size? So you see this huge cement tractor wheel. The Millstone Award would be those who have given in to scandal. Jesus said, better for them to have that millstone around their neck. So imagine, you have it around your neck, you go down to Long Beach or San Pedro, you get on the Queen Mary, free ride, you go out about 5 miles, you have the millstone around your neck, and then the captain of the ship, gives you a boot in your fanny, and you fall. How far are you going to swim? Even though you're an Olympic swimmer, you're not going to swim that much. You're going to end up with seaweed in your nostrils. Now, literary license, I'm embellishing it, but you have to utilize your Ignatian imagination. Use your Ignatian imagination. Jesus gives you the bare bones. We as preachers, we can embellish it a little bit more. So I invite all of you with myself. I'm offering this Mass in reparation for all the times that I've given bad example. Have you ever given bad example? Oh no, all of you are saints, right? All of you are great saints worthy to be canonized, huh? Hey, we've all given bad example. Let's offer our communion and reparation for all the times that we've given bad example. Amen? Okay, I'd like to mention three very common millstone awards. Are you listening to me? The first, and this is very, very, very common. Over the past 20 years, when I was a child, I never saw it happen. And what is that? Couples, they start to live together. Vivir en unión libre, amaciato, as they say in Spanish, huh? They start to live together. So man and woman start to live together without being married. They are ready to receive the Millstone Award. Probably in my first communion class, I've got probably one out of every three of the ladies that comes into the class. They're living together, and I'm going after them. I'm hounding them. I'm hounding them, making them feel uncomfortable to be with me. I'm going after them. Because if they die, they're going to go to hell. And that's not a joke. But you see what bad example this is, Carmen? They got two or three kids, they go to Mass on Sunday, and then they don't receive communion. The kids say, why didn't you go to Mass on Sunday? Because we're not married in the church. Millstone Award. Millstone Award. Very common. And unless someone preaches or teaches like I do, being very blunt and to the point, they think, well, everyone else does it. They become desensitized. You know what that means? The frog in the bathtub, right? The frog in the bathtub. They become desensitized. So let me tell you two more, then we're going to move on with Mass. How about a Catholic mother, father? Okay, they could be married in the church. But they decide, say they've got five kids. In my family, there are nine of us, okay? Big family. And mom and dad decide, okay, today is Sunday. We'll sleep in. We'll have a nice brunch. Then we'll go out to the park. Then we'll catch a movie. Then we'll go to visit nuestra abuelita. Abuelita. Visit grandma. And we won't go to Mass on Sunday. God understands. That's huge. That's a huge mortal sin. Not only have they committed a mortal sin, but they've compounded it by giving a terrible, terrible example to the five kids. And once the kids became teenagers, 14 or 15, they don't want to go to church because when they were children, they saw the bad example of the parents. You hear me? This is so common. Therefore, you have to have priests that preach on this topic day in, day out. That deserves the Millstone Award. Because they put their family and their social love life way above God. That's idolatry, it's scandal, and they deserve the Millstone Award. And finally, I can give you so many examples. How often does this happen? You're going to feel uncomfortable now, but I've come to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Amen, huh? How many parents will sit down and watch a TV program or movie that has immorality and their kids are sitting watching it with them and they do nothing whatsoever to avoid seeing that? Does that deserve the Millstone Award? So allow, you know, don't get angry at me for this homily. Better for you to hear it now than to go before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ without us, I'm a sinner too, without repenting. Few people take seriously reading the Bible, do you? Very often it's going to make you feel very uncomfortable. And that's a good sign. Because God is moving us to a deeper spiritual life. He's taking the binders off our spiritual eyes. So let's turn to the Blessed Mother. Let's turn to Francis Cabrini, the patron of the immigrants. Let's turn to Saint Joseph. These saints and Mary and Saint Joseph, they always gave good example. So starting right now, we're going to pray for the grace to always give good example, to always reflect the goodness of Jesus, Mary, and the saints in our lives. Amen.